Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 40. A conversation with Lee Camp, free-range vegetarian-fed comedian. This is Lee's second time on the show. He was on show number 12, Seriously Funny, highlighting his unique and amazing blend of humor and activism. You can learn a lot about what's going on in the world by listening to Lee Camp. And he's a real mensch, really cares about people and the planet. Taking a little breather from the series on Eduardo Galeano's book, Open Veins of Latin America, Five Centuries of the Pillage of a Continent. And but the interesting thing is that a lot of Lee's humor and his approach to look at the world is really addressing some of the things, the effects of the what Galeano talks about, the corporate culture. But Lee has quite the sense of humor to make it a bit more palatable. The first time interviewing Lee, he mentioned a couple of books that major influences on him. Catch 22 by Joseph Heller and John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which a lot of what Perkins says is what Galeano says in his book. This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening, and we're going to start off with a segment from Lee Camp's Moment of Clarity.
For example, a lot of people I know who have some empathy in their bodies only buy free-range eggs at the grocery store because regular eggs, aka imprisoned eggs, produced by convict chickens who haven't even been given a trial or charges, nowadays are made on factory farms where the chickens literally live their entire lives in a space the size of a piece of paper, in a pen with dozens of other chickens. Granted, sometimes that's how my apartment here in New York feels, but my chickens are fairly well behaved. And you know that once corporations, factory farms, and the such realize how much money there is to be made in free-range, vegetarian-fed, happy, natural chicken eggs, you know they're going to want some of that action. But they won't be able to simply do it like everybody else and open small farms and start selling eggs from blissful hens playing hopscotch all day. No, they'll want to be able to create 1 million free-range eggs right now. all at once. So then they'll start marching a million chickens around, threatening to zap them with electric prods if they don't march in line properly. You each get 10 minutes of free ranging per day. Get to work. I want to see you marching in a free manner, all right, with smiles on your face, not sarcastic smiles. I saw that. And a lot of the free-range eggs I've seen are produced by the Amish. So then the corporations will have to force thousands of Amish to raise hens for them. Come on, you bearded barn-raising assholes, get to work. I need 8 million free-range smiling chicken eggs by tomorrow, so fucking get on it. And or else I start whacking chickens left and right, and you can tell them I said that. Abraham, Jebediah, don't be afraid to squeeze them. But until then, look into what you're eating. Avoid products that result from animal cruelty. If for no other reason, do it because when the zombie apocalypse comes, the zombie chickens are gonna fucking hate you. No one ever mentions the zombie chickens, do they? No, because it's too scary to even think about. That's been your moment of clarity. In the comments section below, let me know what you eat and what you won't eat. Don't be an asshole about it. Let's just have a civil conversation about food. Can we do that?
All right, welcome, Leah. It's nice to have you back on the show. You were on about 7 months ago and wanted to have you back on to help support your raising some money for your Moment of Clarity show. And I think it would help. It's going to help listeners to learn a little bit about the whole process of, you know, how you're going about it and what you're doing. So
yeah, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
You bet. So maybe, yeah, wherever you want to start with, like, you know, the... Because it's interesting to me, the whole, you know, that you're doing it non-sponsored and uncensored lets you be free, lets you be a free-range vegetarian-fed comedian, and that's something that, you know, I think not only comedians but artists, anybody nowadays trying to get their stuff out there, it's not the typical thing. I know I deal with that with books where I say, oh, I got a new book out, and people are like, well, you know, have them in the stores? And I have to explain, well, it doesn't always work so great in the stores. So I think, you know, what you're doing is like a good example for what it takes sometimes to get your thing out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of knows that the whole media market is changing, and it's, you know, there aren't that many bookstores left, and the ones that are left, you know, the big ones like Barnes & Noble, you have to pay $1 million just to get your book slotted somewhere where people might see it in the store. So the whole paradigm is changing, you know, and print on demand is much easier now, and people are switching to Kindles, so you don't even have to print anything. And it's kind of the same with video. It's like the old media mindset of you got to get on NBC or else people aren't going to watch it doesn't really hold true anymore. So, you know, I've been doing these web videos, Moment of Clarity, for a long time, and then we recently upped the production value and made it into a whole show that has, you know, various interviews and segments and activism and comedy and a little bit of everything, animation as well. And so we started doing that, and that actually costs a fair amount of money to create the three episodes we've already done of that. So we did a Kickstarter to try and raise some funds, and I'm probably just about the only YouTube channel that's kind of doing that's had some success.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't have ads on it.
yeah, that's amazing.
Pretty much every single one has ads on it, and you know, I'm not saying I won't one day be on some channel where I have to have advertisements. I understand that's the world we live in, but as long as I can fight it, I'm gonna keep fighting it, because I think that ads overall, you know, have an impact on our mindset and have an impact on the amount of consumerism and materialism and you know, mind and body image and everything that we don't really think of. I mean, these ads are liquefying and sodomizing our brains on a daily basis. So, I wanna fight having ads, and so then the question becomes, how do you make money with this thing, and not even really money for myself, but instead money to pay the right animators, the editors, the cameramen, the producers, everybody. So we're doing it via Kickstarter, and I'm actually you're the first place I can announce that we actually have made our goal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. We made our first goal, but as I said in the initial video, you know, for every so many dollars we get over the goal, we'll make another episode.
Sure.
So really, it's just how many episodes can we get funded? And so we're still raising money over it. If people just go to Kickstarter.com and do a search for Elite Camp, they'll find it pretty quickly. It's called, the show is called Moment of Clarity.
Yeah, it's one I watched a few already. You had some, you know, Greg Palast, who I love reading. Read his book, Check out his stuff a lot. And Roseanne Barr, and you've got the, what's that guy's name, Henry or whatever, the janitor-looking guy.
He is literally the janitor of that building.
Ah, amazing.
We needed someone to read my hate mail. I wanted to have someone read my hate mail, so you know, real hate mail that I get online.
Amazing.
And you know, the production crew, Coalition Films, recommended, like, hey, Henry, you know, changes the garbage cans. He's a great guy. So sure enough.
And you've got a lot of animation, which I noticed got a lot better, like second or third show. So that's, you know, especially people wonder where does the money go to. Well, that takes a lot to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, we've hired a couple of animators, and they, you know, they've been doing cool work for us, and obviously paying them costs some money. You know, they put animation takes a lot of time, so yeah, we hope to keep doing that.
And people get to see your mellower side, which that's a treat. You know, because on your Moment of Clarity, you're usually, you know, you're typically ranting, but then in the show, it's like, you know, you talk however you talk in a regular way. So that's a neat part. It's like you get to see a fuller side of you as a, you know, presenter, performer, whatever you call it.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the Moment of Clarity rants, which are still kind of the beginning of the Moment of Clarity show.
Sure.
They're basically like I'm having a heated political debate. There just doesn't happen to be anyone on the other side at the moment, but so, you know, it's similar to how I would talk if I was arguing heatedly with someone about one of these issues. I just happen to do it alone. You know, it's masturbatory arguing.
That's a new phrase. Yeah. That's one of the things that I want to tell people about your work. It's like you help educate and inform while being funny. The most recent one was your bit on the free range, you know, eggs, hence the title of the show. But you had the phrase convict chicken, and it was one of those examples where I'm like empathetic and laughing at the same time, because it's, you know, you're like helping people realize, you know.
Yeah, I think I was talking about factory farms, and I said that the chickens, you know, many of the chickens live their entire lives in a cage with 12 other chickens, and they live their entire lives in a space the size of a piece of paper. And I said, and they've been put in that cage without a trial or charges.
Yeah, it's a funny metaphor, but again, it's, you know, a neat way to get the point across. And that's what I think people can learn. Where some people watching TV and a lot of shows are so used to just sort of, it's black or white. And, you know, you help to see the gray zones. And I like the angry Amish guy. That was excellent.
Yeah, and a lot of these issues, I mean, this is another reason that I'm not on a regular TV station. Right. A lot of these issues, like factory farming, can't really, like, most shows aren't allowed to talk about them, or some shows don't care to talk about them, but I think that most shows aren't allowed to talk about them because their advertisers are you know, too important. And it's not like, even shows like The Daily Show, it's not like they aren't allowed to ever mention McDonald's. They certainly do occasionally joke about McDonald's, but they're not allowed to, like, spend a great amount of time going in depth into how revolting the food is at McDonald's and where exactly it comes from.
Right.
Now, they can have a little joke here or there, but they can't spend 15 minutes on how horribly Walmart treats their workers.
Sure, sure. It's kind of the irony, maybe, is the factory farming, that whole model, is sort of like the whole you know, corporate TV world that you're you know, doing some, showing another example of, because that, in a way, that's like a fact, you know, the commercials and everything, it's sort of mass production factory farmed in its own way.
Oh yeah, totally. It's essentially a, you know, there was a comedy club called Laugh Factory.
I think
that a lot of comedy shows on TV have become laugh factories. Just how can we tell the cheesiest, lowest common denominator joke that'll get the most ratings, you know, just Two and a Half Men, pathetic and laughter.
Yeah.
Our brains.
I that show is pretty sexist, but I don't know, it's got some yucks for me, at least. It's funnier than most other stuff, but I know exactly what you mean. It's I worked on a sitcom many years ago, and
did you?
I had a good experience, but
the amazing thing was realizing how much, you know, how much it costs for like one show.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money, and that's, you know, that's again where that advertising comes in. It's like huge dollars that it's almost obscene. I mean, millions and dollars just for like one episode, and you know, the advertising money, it's a whole system there.
Yeah, and you know, people, not many people, but there was one or two people online who were criticizing me because I had told them that the true budget, that each episode of Moment of Clarity, the longer episodes that are about 15 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
Costs about $2,500 to $2,900 to make each one, if we were to, you know, if so that we can pay the editors and animators and lighting people and everything. And people were like, "What are you doing? That how could a 15-minute video possibly cost that much money?" You know. Meanwhile, each member of the whatever Seinfeld was getting $1 million an episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you know, $2,500 for 15 minutes of solid content is really not very high.
Yeah, even some of the best, you know, when you see some movies that are like really low budget, you realize again what can be done. You know, I mean, you can get a lot done with money, but it's not always the money that makes it. And that's kind of goes right to another point I wanted to make about how, you know, like I was about to donate a few bucks to your thing, and then I thought, wait a minute, let's do this instead. This would be interesting. And
yeah, very, very true that people can support, you know, your content or my content or whoever's in different ways. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't just need to be dollars.
Yeah, the bartering, the whole economic thing is an interesting topic nowadays, because it's like other countries that are like Spain. I was reading a lot about the whole bartering system and time sharing, you know, where somebody gives somebody a massage and then they get, you know, they get time for that, and then they can go buy a chicken or something. You know, you can, it's like a time bank, and it's a whole interesting economic model.
Wherever people can use it, I think they should use it. I think that for one thing, part of the reason we're in the situation we're in our country and in the world is because we've kind of lost track to what money is. You know, money is a measurement of wealth, but it's not true wealth in and of itself. You can't eat it. You can't build it into a house.
Right.
And so I think that an important aspect of bartering or transactions that don't involve money is that it brings you back to what it actually means. Like, you know, you're actually giving this person something they can use, as opposed to I'm giving you this, you know, imaginary representation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gotten to the point that, you know, Chase Bank or whatever it is, I've seen the commercials, will allow you to take photos of your checks, and that counts as depositing them. And that shows you how fake money is. It's just a photo of an idea that money exchanged hands.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, we're about a step away from, if you just think about getting a check, then that counts.
Amazing. I haven't heard that one before. Yeah, the whole technology thing is sometimes kind of strange. Yeah, and like the whole money thing too. I mean, again, it's I don't think it's a black or white, because even some of the native peoples in America that I've spoken with, sometimes, you know, they'll talk about the poverty on the reservations, but then
uh-huh.
It's not always like they'll say, no, you know, yeah, money will help feed and clothe, but it's not always just the money. They're not like looking for charity handouts. They want to really solve the problems, you know, which is the whole deeper level. So I think, you know, it's just what you're doing is stirring these kind of ideas for me to thinking about the way the economy works and how there's, you know, money. Yes, it helps. Obviously, you got to pay for things, but then there's also another side. And, you know, how it all works out in the end, I don't know, but hopefully we'll transcend money, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think another part of the root of the Native American problem is that whenever it was, you know, 100, 200 years ago, their purpose in life was kind of taken away, because they don't, I feel like culturally they're not happy being a cashier at a McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
They don't see any benefit in that. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like the way of life, whereas we all grow up thinking, you know, if I can just get a job, then that's kind of what matters in life. But I don't think they view being a wage slave really as positively.
Yeah, I mean, their struggles are still going on big time. You know, a lot of times it's a choice of like how to maintain some of their traditions while living in the quote modern world. So it's you know, they have their interesting struggles that are still being, you know, affected by what happened a couple hundred years ago. So it's, you know, I think they, you know, they can relate too to the trying to do with money and not with money.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Anything else you want to say about, you know, the process of, you know, the Kickstarter? It was funny, just before getting on the phone with you, I got this email from a writer I know. She's like, have you ever heard of Kickstarter? So I told her, you know, oh, I'm about to talk to somebody who knows it, and as far as I know, it's good. I've heard some musicians use it. Is it used by just artists?
No, it's actually used by a lot of different things. I mean, so for the people who've never heard of it, there's a couple things that they need to know. One is that you set a time limit, usually the 30 or 60 days, and you set an amount. And if you don't achieve that amount by the time limit, you don't get any of it.
Huh, well.
So what that does, I mean, for one thing, it creates an urgency, which is kind of really important with people giving. They need to feel like, if I don't give now, this is my only chance. But it also means that if the project doesn't get funded, so there's not enough money to create the project, then the people who donated don't have to give the money, which is kind of important.
Right.
Another thing that, you know, if we're just talking about the nuts and bolts of doing Kickstarter, I did some studying of it before I launched this one, and I think it was crucial, you know, learning which ones work and which ones don't work. For one thing, people, you know, I think we shouldn't give too much credit to people in general and assume that tons of people are out there that just want to give money just to help out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that about 70% of the donations or 70% of the reason that a person is giving is for the prizes, is for the rewards.
Right.
So, you know, some people, that's not true. Some people don't even claim their reward, you know. There's people that give $200 and say, I don't want my thing. But it's important for any artists out there that are getting ready to do this, thinking about doing it. It's incredibly important that you have good, meaningful rewards, that people will want and that are connected to the project. I also think that's important. I mean, I suppose it could happen without it, but, you know, if you're like, you know, fund my book and I'll send you my friend's album, then people don't really, they're not connecting the reward to the project, and so I think people don't like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's also helpful, too, to realize even if there's the reward is just even watching your show, because, I mean, we're used to a lot of free stuff online, but, you know, we'll pay $15 to go to a movie. Or, you know, we'll pay $30, $100 to watch stuff on TV. So, hey, here's a show. So, hey, if I'm contributing a few bucks, it's kind of like, you know, you're doing what you normally do. So I think that's something else for
people
to remember.
Yeah, I didn't. And, I mean, you're absolutely right that it's like...
It's not a great sales pitch, but...
Well, you're absolutely right that it's like, you know, and I think I wrote that on my website under at leecamp.net for the subscriber page. I wrote, you know, we'll pay whatever, $2-3 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But how about paying $1 for this video I just made, just to watch this video? And it's interesting that it largely, it's not the greatest sales pitch, because people aren't really into the giving for that reason. I didn't stress that in my Kickstarter. Instead, I stressed the fact that the show was going to end, which it was, if we didn't get the money. And I stressed the fact that you're not going to get this type of content on TV because they won't allow it. So I think that's another important thing that for artists out there to know, is if you have a dynamic that you people aren't going to get asked elsewhere, you should explain that to them. You know, this type of music doesn't, you know, one of the most, the most successful Kickstarter that's ever happened was Amanda Palmer, as a musician who did a album on Kickstarter and made $1.4 million or something to put her album out. And she, in her promo video, she made a point of saying, you know, I was on a major label. They didn't really promote me. They don't understand my music. You know, you guys understand me. That's why I want to do this without them. And so it really told her fans, like, we don't need them. We can do it ourselves. And they responded.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I want to announce too, we're doing a 2-for-1 special today. If you donate to Lee's show, you can also donate to this show, Between the Lines.
What's that?
This is an announcement to the listeners. It's a 2-for-1 special.
Oh, nice.
If they donate to your show, they can also donate to this show. So. that's my little sales pitch. Because this MP3, I've got AAA batteries and coffee are my main expenses. So, you know, it takes a lot.
There you go. Maybe you can get someone to sponsor the coffee.
So let's see what else. Yeah, the free range thing, I like that a lot. I was thinking of the phrase, this new phrase, freedom is not free, which I kind of don't. I find that silly. It reminded me of we have nothing to fear but fear itself. It's like, what? Have you noticed that phrase? Freedom is not free. Does it strike you that way? It sort of makes you scratch your head.
Well, what they're trying to say is that you have to work for freedom.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You got to put your time in to get freedom. So it's not, it doesn't just get handed to you.
Yeah, no, I got that part.
At a table sale. Yeah, no, I get it. Some of those people are trying to be too clever.
I guess it's sort of like a philosophical thing. Well, wait, freedom, if it's not free, it isn't freedom. But anyway.
What's the sound of one freedom falling in a woods?
All right.
People want to check out the Kickstarter. They can go to leecamp.net or to Kickstarter and do a search for Lee Camp. And, you know, even though we did get it funded, obviously, I'm still trying to fund even more episodes.
Yeah.
And also, my rants videos will, you know, whether you donate or not, they'll keep coming out for free. I just put up a new one
today
about the article showing that a real life, if a woman had the dimensions of a Barbie in real life, she would look quite bizarre. There was a study showing that.
Yeah, that's amazing. With that, how much they spent for the study would be interesting.
That's true too.
Well, why did they study that? I don't know.
That article about Barbie goes well with another article that came out showing a Swedish model agency was standing outside of a eating disorder clinic trying to recruit models.
I saw that, but I that was one of those things I didn't read. That sounded pretty strange.
Ugh, it's just sad. I mean, can you imagine someone walks out and they're like, oh God, I'm dying of bulimia. And they're like, you're perfect for our modeling agency.
There was a thing a few weeks ago, I think it was some airline I never heard of, Samoa, that they were going to start charging passengers by weight. If you were heavy, you know, you had to pay extra. It's just, I don't know where it's all going.
Yeah, it's like commoditizing common decency. I mean, some of the airlines have said they might start charging for families to sit together. Like, isn't that something you just let people do because you're a decent human being?
God.
Not to make money. And I think where it's headed is you'll pay an extra $20 to avoid certain people on the plane.
Yeah.
So, like, you give you $20, and then you get to choose, like, I do not want to sit next to the amateur sumo wrestler who will cling on to me for safety from his night terrors.
God. Hey, speaking of free-range, Lee, I saw on your site you think you're going to Scotland or England or something soon?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for a tour of the UK. We're playing, me and a British comic named Nick Revel are playing about 19 shows in 23 days, I think.
Wow.
All across Scotland, England, we're booking some Ireland right now, and all the dates, if anybody's listening in those lands, all the dates are at leecamp.net. Should be a lot of fun, yeah.
Excellent.
I'm also headed up to the Montreal Comedy Festival and Asheville, North Carolina, and St. Louis, Missouri soon.
Excellent, neat. Yeah, I've heard of Asheville is a pretty amazing community. I mean, it's like all kinds of people. Like old hippies and artists and like
right,
it's almost like Berkeley something. Berkeley in the mountains.
Yeah, it's a progressive oasis surrounded by idiots, I think.
Have you been there before?
I have been there. Yeah, I did one show down there, and it was amazing. And the people there were amazing. And this is within the state that recently passed a law saying that coastal towns in North Carolina could not legally. Not allowed to consider rising water levels due to climate change.
Oh, yeah.
So they actually have to tell their engineers, do not compensate for the rising water levels that we know are coming.
Yeah, it's another thing that I love about your shows and your humor is like you point out these absurdities. It's like, let's this orange is now called an apple. You know, it's just, that's literally the way some of that stuff reads.
Well, if you want the literal example of that, is Obama changed the definition, well, Obama and the Pentagon changed the definition of the word civilian.
Hmm.
They decided too many civilians were dying in Afghanistan, so they changed the definition, and now anyone of military age in a target area is a civilian, which you know, the scariest thing of that for your average American is that that definition has to apply to us, too, right? Mm. So if you're at an airport and you're standing next to a Marine with an automatic on his chest, you're now a combatant. You thought you were a civilian, but now you thought you were an overweight accountant working on Cinnabon number 2 and love handle number 7. But no, you're a damn warrior because you're in the vicinity of a soldier.
Yeah, it's crazy, but you know, again, thanks for the laughs. It's like sometimes I read a lot of news online, and I'm, after a bunch of articles, I feel kind of exasperated, and then it's like, hey, I'm gonna go check out your moment of clarity and just, you know, laugh at all this stuff. And I usually laugh, and sometimes though you point out some other absurdity, so it's like it's almost not.
Yeah, I figure the laughter does two things. One is it tricks people who never read about this stuff into watching it, and the second thing is that it gets people like you and me to not hang ourselves.
Well, thanks for helping make my day. Hey, anything else you want to add? Are you working on another book? Or I know you're super busy. Not that you should be working on a book, but anything else? Anything else you want to?
I'm dying to put out the second Moment of Clarity book, but I have not gotten around to doing it.
Stay alive. You got to stay alive. That way you can put out the new book.
Exactly. And I am now doing besides those other tour dates, I'm doing a full run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which will be all of August.
Mm.
And, but other than that, it's mainly, yeah, this new Moment of Clarity show. So I hope people really, check that out. You can subscribe on YouTube. It's youtube.com/Moment of Clarity Show.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. Well, I wish you good luck with that. And, yeah, thanks again for taking the time to talk. And
thanks a lot and best of luck and keep doing what you're doing.
All right. You too, Lee.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, man.
And we're going to go out with two tracks from Lee Camp's CD, Chaos for the Weary.
We can fix this shit, though. I know I've been kind of a downer. But we can fix it. We can clean this shit up. We got ShamWow now. Have you seen that thing? It's a miracle. We can clean up anything from spilled Kool-Aid to the blood of an angry hooker. It's awesome. It's amazing. We can clean this shit up. And which I want to get something else off my chest, which you'll see the relevance in a second. But fuck the Amish. All right? Right? Fuck the Amish. Because I think they might be right about everything. I think those bearded apple butter making motherfuckers have it right. That pisses me off, man. Think about it. They've never contributed to global warming because they don't have the cars or factory farms. They didn't lose any money in the stock market or the housing collapse because all their money's tied up in black frocks and barn raising implements. You know, they never had to look at Britney Spears' bald, confused cooch when it was all over the news 2 years ago, which means they've had an easier time eating their dinner for the past 2 years. They've never heard of Larry the Cable Guy. They've never subjected themselves to a Wendy's Famous Baconator Burger, which means they've never been through the Wendy's Famous 4-day recovery period. You know, they've never had to hear the screeching idiocy of Sarah Palin or the poorly crafted Tourette's of Glenn Beck. They don't vote for the assholes we put into office, which means their souls are responsible for the bombs being dropped. Fuck the Amish, all right? They're living the good life. And I would gladly shave my upper lip and put on a stovepipe hat and a big foam number 1 hand that said Jebediah if it wasn't for the fact that they don't have internet porn or Slurpees. If they would just let those two things through the front barn gates, man, I would be out of here in a horse and buggy. I would find myself a goodly Amish maiden named Dorothy Stoltzfus, and we would start planting some radishes. So call me Abraham. I don't give a fuck. We can fix this shit. They have a different type of society, and I think we should should start a new society. I think we should start over, fix all the shit that we didn't get right the first time. Like, I think we should start a new society where everyone gets health care before a single dog gets health care, and everyone gets shoes before a single dog gets shoes, and everyone gets a frisbee before a single dog gets a frisbee. You know? Frisbee went too far. All right, not the last part. But there's just a new society where if you're homeless, you get to live inside of the empty buildings littering our landscape. I mean, Jesus, like if you're a hobo, you get your own personal boarded up Circuit City. If you're a vagrant, you get to live inside of Linens and Things. If you're a schizophrenic veteran living on the streets, you get your own private Chrysler dealership. Right? It'd be poetic, wouldn't it? The victims of unfettered, unregulated, velociraptor-style capitalism living inside of the corpses of the businesses who caused that shit. It would be fucking poetic. We need a new society where anyone who wants to get married can get married, but if you want to have a kid over number two, it's voted on by the people in a case-by-case basis. Alright, so if you want to fire 14 kids into this country out of your semi-automatic assault vagina, then we get a say. They better be top-level devices, alright? Better be top shelf. There's no point in birthing an Atari in an Xbox 360 world. Alright? We don't need any more douchebags, numbnuts, schmucks, ass clowns, jerk-offs, and dingleberries. Alright? Those spots are filled. Thanks for applying. Try down the street at the diesel store. We need a new society where we stop with this America's number one bullshit. You can say America's your favorite. That's fine. America's my favorite. But when people run around going, America's number one, that just makes them okay with bombing some country they know nothing about. Because they're like, oh, well, we're number one, and they're number, like, 137. So they're cave people over there. They like bombs. They like bombs. Because they don't have electricity, and it lights up the night sky so they can read at night. They like bombs over there. You know what? Maybe our society isn't the best. Maybe it's just different. Maybe some of them really are living in caves. But I've never seen a foreclosed on sign in front of any of their caves. I've never heard any of them bitching about how they spent their last $12 on Alvin and the Chipmunks the Squeakquel, and now they're losing their cave because they signed a subprime cave loan. So maybe we're just your favorite. You know? A new society where no more infinite wars. We can have our war, but every war should be like milk. It should have a bomb-by date right there on the side of the box. And after that, you're done. I don't care if you have excuse. No, there's a wedding in Kandahar province. We haven't hit yet. I don't care. It's over. You'll get them next time, you know? You'll get them next. I mean, honestly, like, Afghanistan, at this point, aren't we just running up the score? Isn't it like 108-3 over there? Shouldn't we take our starters out of the game? Jesus Christ. I mean, think about this. If it were the U.S. versus Afghanistan in football or baseball instead of war, the mercy rule would have kicked in long ago, all right? No, all the fans would have left the stadium because no one wants to watch Ray Lewis beat the fucking pulp out of a Tiny Tots team. You know? New societal paradigm, I think. I think we could do it. Will we solve the nation's energy crisis by just taking all the piss generated at sporting events and wrestling matches and AC/DC reunion tours, and it's just channeled into tunnels that turn turbines that power the entire country? And if that's not enough, we start burning reality TV stars, right? Seriously, how great would that be? You'd be like, oh, my lights are on, and I'll never see the Jersey Shore kids again? This is wonderful. Oh, my computer's working, and I just sent Simon Cowell to a fiery death. This is an orgasm waiting to happen.